Welcome to the Family Finance Show with Diana Granu, proudly brought to you by Old Mutual. This podcast is your weekly guide to effective budgeting, planning, and future-proofing of your family's finances. Because money matters to every family, and every family matters at Old Mutual. Enjoy the show.
My name is Diana, and this is the Family Finance Show, the podcast to help you manage your family's finances better. Every week, we share an episode on topics relating to increasing your family's income and managing expenses, controlling your debt, and investing for the future. Welcome to the Family Finance Show, and thanks so much for listening. Today, my guest is Vangile Makwakwa, the founder and CEO of WealthyMoney.com. Incidentally, Vangile and I were both at University of Cape Town many moons ago, both doing a commerce degree, and we shared a common passion for travel. And today you're living the life of a digital nomad now, Van. You're living and working in Sri Lanka. How did that all come about?
So I was living in South Korea in 2016 and into 2017. And I decided to come check out Sri Lanka to see what this country was like. I actually wanted to come through to Sri Lanka to do some meditations in 2015, but then I ended up going to India to do my Tantra Yoga certification. And then after that, moved to South Korea. And I arrived here, and I think I'm just like most people, don't know what the heck Sri Lanka is. Didn't know what to expect. I mean, I kind of knew it was an island. In my head, I was like, it's going to be just like India, you know? And I arrive here and it's like literally its own country, which it is, you know? And Sri Lankan people are just so kind, so amazing. And I just fell in love with this country, just like most people do. And I remember saying to one of my friends that I met here, in 2017, within the first 2 days, I was like, I think I'm going to move to Sri Lanka. So then I came back in 2018. I was like, oh, I'm just here to check it out. And then maybe I'll host a retreat in 2019. I ended up hosting two international retreats in Sri Lanka in 2019. And then I just kept coming back for the whole of 2019. Like, I just wouldn't leave. And when COVID started in 2020, I was like, well, I really live in Sri Lanka. So what the hell? Like, there's no other country that I see myself staying the rest of COVID in. So I came back. I was actually in Laos when everything got really bad. Mm-hmm. And I used to live in Thailand. So I stopped in Bangkok for a few days just to think. And everything in my spirit was like, go back to Sri Lanka. And since I already have a network here, like almost everything that I do, at least with the retreat side of the business.
There are worse places to be stuck for lockdown. So the nice beaches, the good food, I can imagine you're really enjoying it there in Sri Lanka.
It's crazy. Like looking at the ocean right now as I'm talking to you, it's crazy.
So today our topic is money and relationships, specifically intimate relationships. Money can be such a thorny issue between people, either when they're starting a new relationship or even between spouses who've been married for many years. In fact, financial problems are one of the common reasons for divorce. So Vangile, what advice do you have for people who are either starting a new relationship, just entering something new? What are some of the tools you can use or questions that you can ask to make sure that you are both in agreement on your finances right from the start?
Yeah, so this is such a great question. Mainly because let me just start by saying that it's not like I'm not a relationship expert. So my forte is money, and I can just speak from experience of working with other people around money and relationships and my own, I guess, do I want to say failed relationships or experiences in relationships? So the first thing though, is to really have a conversation around your 5-year goals. I know this was a big thing for me. I'll share some of my experiences because that's how I tend to teach this work, which is like, so I know this was one of the big things where one of my relationships ended with this because I could not articulate my 5-year goals when my partner at the time was asking me, and he kept asking, like, what are your goals? What are your 5-year goals? And I just couldn't articulate it. And looking back at it now, it was really, really important that he was asking those questions, because what he was trying to get at, that I later understood the importance of, was, are we compatible? Are we going to be, do we want almost the same things? You know, So eventually when I did blurt out that I wanted to travel, and then I heard what his goals were, I was like, no way is this going to work. When we had that conversation, it was like, no, actually, part of my 5-year goals is I'm not going to stop traveling. Like, are you kidding me? So that was huge and interesting. And then the second one is values. I feel like, do you have shared values, and are you spending in accordance with those values? I mean, we could argue that anyway, you have to be, if you're in a relationship, you want to be in a relationship where you're having shared values, right? Mm-hmm. Else, I mean, what kind of a relationship is that? Yeah. But at the end of the day, you also now want to see, like, what are some of the shared, do you guys have shared values, and are you spending in accordance to those values? And by that, I mean, maybe one of your values is, I need to feel stable, and stability in terms of my values is translated as home ownership. And maybe the other person is a lot like me, and they're like, well, I can own property, but I don't have to live in that property, and we can just do Airbnb throughout. Mm-hmm. So is that has a lot of financial implications. So how are you spending your money in relation to your values? That's going to be really important, because how you spend your money is going to affect everything, you know? And then the third thing is understanding your spending habits. So is the other person a super spender? Like, do they just walk in and do they spend absolutely everything? So this, on the flip side, I had to have this conversation, I think, a while back with someone else. And because I realized that, oh my gosh, I come from a background of being, for just me, not my parents, they're not super spenders, but I turned out to be the super spender. And I come from that background of being this crazy super spender, almost like losing my head when I had money, and I had to go through that healing process. Then I found myself dating someone like that. And if the person's not willing to come to the table and have that conversation, it's really, really difficult, because it will affect everything in the long run. Because if someone is spending most of their income, and then they're spending it on whatever, and then you're left with most of the household expenses, you need to be aware that that's what you're getting into. You don't want to be the only one that now your partner got paid and payday, and now you're the only one paying the mortgage, even though you had an agreement that you'd go 50-50 or 60-40 or whatever. Next thing is, you need to understand your propensity for risk taking. So I've always said, and I always come really clean and upfront with people, that I have a huge capacity for risk, mm-hmm. right? So the other party needs to know, do you have a huge capacity for risk in your business? Because mm-hmm. if you're both risk takers, then you need to have, especially if you're entrepreneurs, then you may need to have contingencies in place. Because then if you're the kind of person that's willing to risk everything on a decision, and the other person needs to know that, well, one day you may risk absolutely your entire company on a decision, and there may be ramifications. So they need to know. And then also understanding about your income goals for the future. How much growth do you foresee for your income? Mm-hmm. What are your income goals? What is the strategy that you have in place for the income goal? What have you already started doing? What are the challenges that you foresee? So just going in, like, I guess, almost like an open book, and allowing yourself to be vulnerable around money. These conversations could save a lot of time and energy in the future.
I love what you say about being an open book. I think that's so, so important. And that idea of communication has come out in all that you've said. And the only thing that I would add is that also debt. You want to know if your partner has taken on a lot of debt before you enter the relationship, because it might, depending on how you married, it might become your joint debt after married, if it's marriage that you're going for. So yeah, debt is an important one to just be aware of.
Also, speaking of marriage, if people are going to go into marriage, having a discussion about, are we going to do this in community of property or out of community of property, and what are the benefits? Like, I'm so in favor of out of community of property. I think at UCT, we had business law, right, Diana? And we had the same law professor, and she would tell us about the benefits of, especially if you're an entrepreneur, of marrying out of community of property. Again, for this thing of like the propensity for risk. So if you know that you're going to take insane risks in future, and you already do that, your personality already shows that, if you're in community of property, you're forcing the other person to take on that amount of risk as well.
I remember her clearly, actually, Abigail Shirk. Like, now that you brought her up, I clearly remember her. So we've done a whole episode dealing with just the marriage contracts, because it can get quite tricky. So we won't go down that rabbit hole here. But just to go back to relationships, the other thing that I think can often create a conflict is if people come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. So people have so many habits, especially around money, that they develop in childhood and early in their life. And this can lead to conflicts if you fall in love with someone who's from a different family background. What would you suggest doing in a case like this?
Ooh, okay, so this is such a great question as well. I think one of the most important things then is, I work a lot with money trauma, right? And healing ancestral money trauma, is understanding what were the habits that your grandparents and your parents, and if you even know your great-grandparents, what were their financial habits, and break down all the finances into segments around savings, around debt, around income, around spending, around investments, and then look at how did they behave with money. And then look at how do you behave with money in comparison to that, and then have a frank conversation around that, you know? So where are your habits completely different? Mm-hmm. And also just having a frank conversation on, how do you feel about openly talking about money? So for me, for years in relationships, you could never get me to talk about money. And at the time I was like $60,000 in debt. I was like drowning in debt, and I barely had a consistent income, and I wouldn't talk about money. So everyone was assuming that they're getting into this great relationship because I have an MBA and I look like I've got it together. But once they were in it with me, they realized that, oh my God. And then I refused to discuss it. So also having conversations around, what do you need in order to feel safe to have these conversations around money? Because I didn't, everything for me when I was discussing money in relationships felt like an attack. It felt like I would be judged for my debt. I would be judged for my spending habits. So it felt like an attack on my personality. So having those conversations as well as to, this is what I need. This is the conversation I need to have. And then also, I find this is so critical, having weekly money dates together as a couple. It doesn't mean that your finances have to co-mingle, but just being able to have a date where, if it's Sunday, already right now, my money dates with myself are on Sundays, right? So I'll use Sunday as an example. So you just say, for Sundays, we have a day where we look at our bank accounts, we have discussions, we look at the income in the business that making, be it a side hustle or my main business or maybe something else that I want to start. So then we have conversations around what's working, what's not working, what are some of the challenges, asking difficult questions, sitting with them, and then deciding maybe you need something more than those money dates. Maybe you need a coach, maybe you need a financial advisor or something more around money, but you need to be willing to have time set aside just to have a conversation around money. And again, just because I used to be this person that used to freak out at that notion whenever that would come up, just like also asking the other party, when we talk about money, what are the emotions that come up for you? What is it that goes on in your head? And how can I create the safe space so that we can have this discussion? And it doesn't feel like you're being judged or you're being shamed or, and this is going to be a hard one because for me, it was also like, people would be like, oh my God, how could you spend so much money in 1 week? Please don't judge me. Like I have an issue, right? So that may need to be a conversation that's had upfront so that this money date doesn't become the worst thing to ever happen in the relationship. And it actually is constructive.
Yeah, I love that idea. I think date nights can be turned into money date nights, or you could have a separate money date. I think it's such a fabulous idea. And what about joint bank accounts, Fangile? Is it a good or bad idea? I know people in both camps. What's your view on joint bank accounts?
You see, I think this is like one of those things that works for different people, mm-hmm. right? Different strokes for different folks. So I definitely would not want joint bank accounts just for myself, right? What I could think of that I sometimes recommend to people who are in the camp as, in the same camp as me is like, I can show you what's going on in my bank accounts. I can happily print it for date nights and all those things on for money dates, you know, but I don't want to be commingling accounts. What I would say to people is you can have a shared bank account for shared expenses, like household stuff and all those things. And then you can have, you can come to a decision as to what goes into that bank account and how you use it. So that's if you're at the extreme, like, please, can you just leave my money alone type of thing? But I also think that makes sense for me because I run a business, right? And I'm not, no matter who I'm dating, I'm not bringing them on board for my business. So I don't want them to be part and parcel of that. I have directors, I have things, people that I'm involved with in the business, and then I get paid a salary from the business. And then from that, from my personal account, whatever happens in there, I still want to have some modem of control over it. So I feel like you can do a hybrid, like I suggested, or you can do joint bank accounts if you want. I don't understand the concept of joint bank accounts, though. People will have to like really convince me on that.
So let me try and convince you. So that's what we have. We actually have, and I know that people do different things. I've interviewed people on the show, on our budgeting episode, where they don't have joint bank accounts, but we do. And I just think it was just easier for us to manage our joint finances that way. So we plan our goals, financial goals together, our budget together. We really do everything together. And now because both of us are entrepreneurs, we both have a very lumpy or sort of unstable income. When I was working for corporate, it was very easy. You just had your salary paid in. But I think I really feel in my marriage specifically, so just talking from my own experience here, obviously not everyone will have the same view, but I really feel that without my husband, you know, I wouldn't be able to do what I do today. You know, without him, I wouldn't have left my stable, well-paid job to build a business. So he's the person that I speak to about all my ideas. I go to for advice. We share our goals. And at the same time, when he was starting his business right at the beginning of our relationship, I was the one who was supporting him. So for us, a joint bank account just works because we've got two young kids to feed and clothe and educate, and it just helps to manage the money all in one place. But I hear you. Not everyone wants to do that. So it's really a personal choice.
Yeah. So is this like your personal bank account? Because I'm assuming the business bank accounts are
yes,
separate.
Correct. So we each have our own business bank accounts, and then we've got one personal account, and then we've got different investments jointly, and then our own private investments. So yeah, it's a bit of a mix. But our bank account for like just paying our daily expenses is just one joint one.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense, because that's like what I would recommend for the hybrid model, which is like open up a separate joint bank account and then just put money separately into that account. And then that goes into the household stuff. Mm. But like, yeah, I would still need my own personal, my own separate personal account where I'm just like, I am the boss of that. know, where we never have a discussion about what goes on outside on in that outside of the household stuff.
Yeah, it does get a bit tricky when you have to buy your spouse a gift, because then it appears on the bank statement. So yeah, there are advantages of having your own secret stash. Well, not secret, but your own, because I think secret is a problem, but to have your own and bank account, yeah, no worries. I think the other thing, Vangile, just to sort of end up here, is salary differences, they can also cause difficulties in relationships. Often it's the man who earns more given the history of the world and employment. But nowadays, incomes are potentially more equal, and there might be one spouse in the relationship who earns more than the other. And this could cause conflict in some ways in the relationship. What do you think about salary differences amongst couples?
Wow. Like, personally, I am in favor of people expanding, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that it's a lot of the time, if the salary difference is a huge problem for one person, then they need to go and do the work around that, figure out what it is that is causing this discomfort or this upset about the other person out earning them. Because the truth is, I feel that if we are in relationships and the other party is asking us to slow down our growth mm-hmm. for them, then what ends up happening is we end up building resentment, and it feels like we are slowing the other person down. So again, this has to be an open and frank discussion. It's like, what is it that comes up? And often what comes up is that there's a sense of insecurity because we haven't dealt with our own wounding around not being good enough, because we live in a society that tells us that the amount of money that we earn is a reflection of our enoughness and a reflection of our worthiness and our deservingness. So then we need to go and heal that wounding and start allowing ourselves to separate our sense of self-worth from what is going on in our bank accounts, right? Because often what happens is that that very belief that I am not good enough is actually what's perpetuating our inability to move forward. So then the real conversation is, am I insecure because I believe that this now makes the other person better than me, or I'm scared that of what people will say, or that I will be emasculated, or that the other person will have more power over me, because we do live in a society that equates more money with power. Mm. So we now need to work on those wounds. And that's got nothing, I want to almost say that like our insecurities are all about us and our own wounds and our own traumas. And they're not actually about the person who is earning more money. Because the other alternative is to ask the other person to stop expanding and to stop making more money, mm-hmm. which is so unfair, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, it benefits both parties. Well, we hope it benefits both parties in the long run. If even one of the parties is making more money, it opens up, it unlocks a lot of opportunities in just in terms of mortgages, in terms of property investing, so then you can start building generational wealth. But if our insecurities are going to stop us from celebrating the other party's success, we will never be able to move forward in the relationship and start to expand and work as a partnership or a unit.
And money isn't the only thing that contributes to a relationship. So as you say, people often get their self-worth from how much money they earn, but there's so much more that's contributed to a relationship, just not just the money component. So people should be aware of that too. Van, one of my last question is a question that I ask all my guests, and that is, what is the one piece of financial advice that you would like to pass on to the next generation?
The one piece of financial advice I want to pass on to the next generation is the one piece of advice I give to everybody. It's never about the money. It's about almost everything else but the money. So if you find yourself overspending, if you find yourself unable to create a consistent income in your business, if you find yourself unable to get promoted, if you find yourself constantly creating debt or unable to get out of debt, it's not about the money. It's not about the numbers and the systems in the financial system. It's about so much more than that. So allow yourself to go deeper, to sit with your emotions around money, to work through your traumas around money. And as you start to heal within, I promise you, all your a lot of your financial stuff will start to resolve itself and shift itself. Because often it's about the way that we're feeling about money, the way that we're thinking about money, the way that all the memories and traumas that we carry in our body that causes us to have an unregulated nervous system whenever we're dealing with money, so that money doesn't feel safe. And then we want to get rid of money as fast as possible, or we are blocking money and sabotaging ourselves from making more money. So always go, don't just assume that it's about the money, because it's very rarely about the money.
Very rarely about the money. Thanks so much for sharing all your experiences on money and relationships and the intersection of both here on the Family Finance Show. Thanks for your time, Vangile.
Oh, thank you so much, Ayala. This has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast to stay on the journey to improving your family's financial well-being.
Thank you for listening to the Family Finance Show with Diana Granu, proudly brought to you by Old Mutual. The time is now to own your financial future. Visit oldmutual.co.za for more great advice, articles, free budgeting tools and calculators, or to find a financial advisor. We'll be back next week.